some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
But you know what that song means.
It means it's time for our famous friend who, sources close to the program tell me that he has agreed to not one, not two, but three segments on today's program. So if you, like Kirk Ferentz, are a big fan of Brian Bulaga,
what, gosh, the golf course is closed or what?
Oh,
all of a sudden he's up for three.
Oh, snap.
Wow. That's awesome. But the golf course is not closed in Florida.
Brian agrees to be on the show for three segments, yeah, and you decide to get after him.
I'm not getting after him. I'm asking a simple question. Blue loves golfing, right? Am I crazy, Blue? Is it raining?
No.
Is it raining down by you?
No, it's beautiful out. It's fantastic.
Right. Hey.
It's fantastic
that's
out.
That's on me, then. That's on me.
Wow. It's,
yeah, that's on me.
Thank you for your service. By the way, big win for the Hawkeyes against Penn State, which is starting to look like Wisconsin with the way their season is going. Hey, I'm wondering, because Matt LaFleur made it very clear, it is not the Green Bay Packers against Aaron Rodgers. It is the Green Bay Packers against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers on their team. Do you believe that to be the case? Look, I think we can all agree this one is bigger, and Tausch said it yesterday, this one is way bigger to Rodgers than it is to the Packers. But do you believe that it's just another game to the Packers?
I don't know if it's just another game to the Packers. I don't know if I would just say that. I think it's bigger to Aaron, for sure. I think Tausch is right on that. I think it's bigger to Aaron, but I don't know if I would say it's just a game to the Packers. I think it means a little bit more as well.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm sure it's the same as going down and beating Jacoby Brissett down in Arizona. It's another game on the schedule. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, exactly. I get it's 2 years removed, right, or technically now three, from the decision to move on from Aaron and all that, right? There's been some time in between that, but there's still, was that the right decision from 2 years ago to move on and take this course that they've taken,
well,
right?
Well, the answer is yes. I mean, the answer is pretty resoundingly yes, right?
You've won, what? Two playoff games, seven seed one. Both years.
And you've kept your quarterback. Paid him, and you have your guy for the next 10 or 15 years, you hope. Whereas Aaron, you know what I mean?
I get it. I understand that. But I'm just saying you're looking at it from a validity standpoint and all that. Like, you're looking to, like, prove, hey, we went the right direction, right? And I know you don't need to beat him to prove that, but, like, it's in the big scheme of things, right? Like, we went the right way, right? And even though he's still playing and he's doing his own thing in Pittsburgh, and regardless if they lost to Cincinnati and however that went, whatever, they're doing some good things in Pittsburgh right now, right? I mean, I didn't know how good their offense would be, but they're playing better than what I thought their offense would be doing. In Pittsburgh right now, surprisingly. So there's some, you know, what I would look at it is Green Bay showing, like, hey, we went in the right direction, right? I think there's a little bit of that to be proven or shown that we made the right choice. Not as much as, say, if it would have happened a year ago or 2 years ago, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think for Aaron mostly, right? Because this would be, I think I read this correctly, right? This would be a win against every team in the NFL,
yep,
right?
If he beats Packers are the only team he hasn't beaten. Yes, sir. I mean,
yeah.
We know Favre beat the Packers a few times.
Just wait. Jason, I just want to make sure you're on the record here. So quarterback wins and losses are a stat. That's what you are saying when you make that claim.
He had
correct?
A really good line that you just ran right through the stop sign.
Did
on.
I?
Yeah, he was setting up a real good joke
I
there.
I hate when I do that. That's on me. Jason, I'm going to do the old time back machine. I'm pulling back what I said, but I do want you to go back to it later. Finish that great line. That makes me that's on me, Jay. I'm going to stop talking for the rest
of the
segment.
We're all good. Don't beat yourself up.
What was the line?
No, quarterback wins are not a stat, but
man,
he would be the starting quarterback in a game in which his team won.
What was the line?
Line was going to be there were plenty of games where Brett Favre beat the Packers, and not just when he was with the Vikings.
Dang. Wow.
Including that playoff game where you had two tackles on his six interceptions.
I almost lost my retina in that game, too.
Yeah. Old T playing DB.
You probably never had a deal with this, but it legit was every time you got done pass blocking, you had your head like, all right. Because you could hear the crowd.
Yep.
And there was probably matter of fact, I did an appearance with Brett not that long ago, and he actually said he was going. I think he thought he was going to throw 8 or 9 that day. And if you look back, 2 or 3 were dropped. Now, there were a couple dropped. He could have. He legit like Tua Tagovailoa, and what's the coach's name down there?
McDaniel. Yeah.
Neither of them should be there anymore. He basically came out and said, we hope we don't throw 10 picks. You'd think that's unheard of.
No.
Brett had a legit opportunity to throw 10 picks in a playoff game.
And by the way, Tausch's two tackles, of the 6 interceptions, only 3 resulted in tackles because the other 3 were returned for pick 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that pick 6 early kind of threw us for a little bit of a loop.
Oof.
For sure.
Oof. Those are daggers.
And those hurt because
absolutely
especially
daggers.
If you have a long drive and you're kind of sucking wind, and then you chase 80 yards, and even though after about 30 yards, you're like, I have no blanket chance, but I got to at least give the effort like I'm going.
Oh.
And all that happens, and then they kick off, and you're like, another 80-yard drive coming here, and we'll probably throw another pick down here. And it's just a vicious cycle.
Yep. Going back on the field. Do it again. Ugh. Yuck.
So, yuck. Brian, you and Corey Linsley both spent time with the Chargers, but the Chargers didn't play the Packers during your collective times there, right? So you never really got to face your former team. I'm curious, you know, you and Aaron are good friends and golfing buddies and everything else. How do you think he is approaching this game? Because I think we are all in agreement on the panel that it definitely means more to him than it does to the Packers, even though it's not just another game for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably, obviously during the week, he's, you know, he'll try to treat it like any other game, obviously building up to this thing. He'll try to, with his teammates and guys, you know, he'll try to play it as normal, right? And try to keep everyone level-headed, cool, and try to make this thing as even keel as he can. So no one else feels like this game is bigger than what it is, right? I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. So no guys try to play differently than what they should. Right, you don't want anyone else to try to do more than what they have to try to, you know, play better than, you know, what they already have. Like, that's the thing. You don't want anyone to play out of themselves. That's the main thing. And then I think once he gets, I would imagine, to game day is probably when a little bit of a switch will flip for him. And that's when I think a different side of the chip on the shoulder Aaron Rodgers probably will come out. That's the guy that, for me, what I always experience is that's the dangerous Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, that's the guy that I think that you want to compete with, that you enjoy being in the huddle with. He's the guy that's locked in, right?
How about on the golf course? You like it when he's on on the golf course?
No, because most of the time I'm not like on his team.
Yeah.
So like it's really bad. Like it's really bad when I'm not on his team because then it's like really. Really bad.
Is it worse to be on his team than not on his team, though?
Well, I was on his team that day, and it wasn't a real treat either, if I'm being honest.
It's like I felt like it can
MVS.
Go both ways.
I felt like Marquez Valdez-Scantling after I shanked a tee shot. I got that look of just utter disgust. Yeah. Pick your blank
up. It can go
up.
Both ways.
Like, yeah, no,
like,
I'll try.
And, you know, what he would always say, and you know, when we would play division opponents, right? Like, and it would be, you see these teams twice a year. You're very familiar with opponents. Maybe he would say this with you, Tausch, and you would maybe because it was early on in his career. Maybe he wouldn't say it. But when you play like the Bears twice and the Bite, and you're very familiar with these guys, right? I mean, and I don't want to say you become friends with the guys, but you're familiar with them, right? I mean, there's a lot of, we'll say, banter in between plays, and sometimes it's not hostile, but, you know, it becomes back and forth and, you know, whatever it may be. Depending on what the opponent would be and what happened in the prior matchup, he would get into that huddle before the first, you know, the first drive, and it would be, this is a no friends game. Like, this is like, I don't want anyone to speak to anyone over there. Like, this is a no friends game. And like, I don't want any discussion with the defensive side of the ball. No one talks to anyone over there between play, like nothing. Like, I don't want any discussion. Like, and that would imagine that's probably what that mentality is going to be. Now you may see a little back and forth with him, but there's not many guys over there.
He always did that. He never had a
double
standard game. He loved doing that with Briggs and with Urlacher and Greenway. Like, really?
It depends. But see, that was, it's when a lot of those guys started to leave, though. It's like Briggs was gone.
Oh, so
Urlacher was
gone. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Greenway was gone. Like, we're talking as time evolved, right? And things started to move along there. But you look at this Green Bay side now, right? This team that, you know, the Packers side now, there's not many guys over there that he played with.
Who is it? Like, Rashawn? Let's be real. Rashawn and who else?
So there are 14 players that were on the roster in 2022 simultaneous to his final season. That also includes like Bo Melton, who was on the 53 for the last two games, but didn't play. Rasheed Walker, who didn't play as a rookie at all. Right. Ryan, who didn't play as a rookie at all. It's basically Rashawn Gary, Elton Jenkins. You know, as I mentioned in my story today, obviously there was a relationship and a friendship between him and Keyshawn Nixon. But Keyshawn Nixon only played one year with him. So yeah, it is. There are not a lot of guys. And it was the predominant amount of guys on that list are guys from that 2022 draft class, which, of course, was the same time that he said that he didn't want to go through a rebuild, and he was not exactly fun Uncle Aaron with all those young guys on his team.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing, too, I would imagine he'll be, I would guess, like, between he and Matt, I think they had a good relationship. Obviously, I wasn't in the building towards the end of this thing, right? So I don't really know the dynamic towards the end of it, right? Like, I would imagine that those two were close. They were cordial. In my time there, they got along really well. I thought they were on the same page with a lot of things. I thought the way they developed the offense towards the end of it, obviously with the way they were performing and the numbers that they put up, I mean, it was a very, very good relationship, good working relationship. There were a lot of productive years, right? Like, and you don't get that unless the two are, you know, collaborating well and you know, on the same page, mm-hmm. right? Like, so that's what you get when those two. So, like, I would imagine there's no, like, he's going to probably be fine with Matt and the guys over there and Steno and there was good relationships with those guys, right? Like, so like, I think that's all fine. And obviously, like, the defensive staff, I think there's been a lot of turnover there. So I don't know if he knows a lot of guys over on that side of the ball, right? I mean, there's been a ton of turnover there. So like, I don't know anything about
that. It's Goody and Rodgers. I mean, that's the, if you're looking, and Wilde loves this, you're looking for a little drama. That's the battle. There's your drama.
Yeah. 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 I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, that's essentially what it is. Yep. And I'm not one for speculating what happened in that building towards the end, because I got booted out of there in a certain time, and I wasn't there for the end of it. So, like, I don't know what happened, right? I wasn't in there to kind of be in that atmosphere of what was going on towards the end, right? If you're in there, you kind of get a feel
for how things are. You were around long. Well, you have an idea.
Well, see, but, like, you don't have an idea of it because he, like, he was the guy, right? Aaron Rodgers was the guy. So, like, if you're not in there for that, when the main piece of the puzzle is, I guess, being ready to be, like, exit stage left, right? Like, that's a hard thing to guess how the feeling is in that locker room, right? Like, I can't even imagine that, right? Like, that to me is a hard thing to even guess how that would feel. But I would imagine it was a very odd vibe in the locker room, right? Like, I don't really know. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that I don't want to speculate on, and the dynamic that was going on between Aaron and obviously Matt, and then how it was up with Goody. Like, I don't know how it was, right? Like, I have no clue. I can't even speculate. But obviously everyone's moved on their own ways, right? And things now are what they are, and Green Bay's moved on in one direction. And whether you think it's gone really well or not, hey, whatever, right? Like, I think Green Bay's gone on in a path that is, you know, has there been ups and downs? Yeah. Are they still a really young team and there's a lot ahead of them that I think they could, you know, be a really, really good football team and can achieve a lot of great things? I do. I really do. I think Jordan Love's a really, really good quarterback. I think there's a lot he can improve on. Do I think he's like Aaron Rodgers? I'm not even going to try to – I hate the comparisons when they do it. So, like, when people say, like, well, he's Aaron or – no, I don't like the comparisons of it because I think it's unfair.
It's like you right? following like, so Tout.
Why,
like,
could it have been? I mean, the realistically,
yes, it's unfair for me to follow Tausch. It's very yeah. unfair life, for life me to have to follow Tausch.
Yeah, life deals you different cards that you have to deal with. I don't know if Goody could have thought that this would have went any better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't.
Like, I mean, yeah, it'd be great if he's winning MVPs and he got a Super Bowl trophy the first year. But realistically, Goody is looking at this. We 100% did the right thing, and it couldn't have gone any better. You got draft picks. The only thing could have been better if you did it earlier and got Denver's haul. Isn't that really what it comes?
Yes.
And you can't do that. They shouldn't have. That would have been – I think that would have been a big mistake, even though you'd have gotten a bigger haul. But Brian Gutekunst has got to look at this and say, man, we appreciate and loved everything Aaron did, championship and everything else, but we made the right move. We have our quarterback, because if they didn't do that, Jason Wilde reported, correct me if I'm wrong, and you got scolded a little bit when you said Jordan would have to think about what was going to happen if Aaron Rodgers came back. Did you not?
Yeah, that look, he would have...
Report Totter. Come on, report Totter.
If he would have come back for another year, Jordan Love would have wanted to be... He would have requested to be traded because he wanted to play.
Now, Wilde goes into reporter mode.
We'll shift gears here from Rodgers. I want to ask one last question of this topic with Brian before we take our first break of our three segments with Brian. Did you see last Thursday when that offensive lineman tackled Aaron Rodgers after the touchdown pass?
That was the funniest thing ever.
And did you ever make anything even close to the level of mistake where you got the look and the shove that a very pissed off Aaron Rodgers delivered to his right tackle?
Oh my gosh. I saw that. I couldn't even like that. That made me like, that kind of gave me a little bit of a chill because because I'm not going to lie, man. Like that, like I saw that happen. I was like, oh my gosh, what is that guy doing? Like, and then you saw the look and like, I've seen the look, but I've never gotten the look like directed at me, but I've seen the look. And like, if that was ever directed at me, like that's a really bad mess. Like that's like something that's very bad.
Did
like,
you not you, laugh you a little bit it, though from the outside? It was kind of funny.
Well, I laughed because like, what the hell are you doing? dude, that's a 320-pound guy jumping a quarterback that is like, you know, popped his Achilles a couple of years back.
A little more fragile than he used to be, yeah.
Yeah, like what are you jumping on his back for?
Yeah, that was crazy. The whole thing, doing? I laughed about the whole thing, like Rodgers' reaction. First I was thinking, this guy's nuts. Like what is he doing? That was initially, and then I was like, boy, that is funny, because I could just see, old boy throws a big-time touchdown in a tight game, and it went from joy to I'm going to rip your throat out.
If looks could kill, literally.
That was funny. That was funny now.
Oh, my gosh. I think the guy had the right tackle had an interview, like, I think the other day, and he's like, you know, we're good. He just told me to don't lose that fire. I go, oh, yeah. He wants you to continue to tackle him every time he throws a touchdown pass. Yes, that's the message he said. Tackle him every time. That's good. That's what he wants. Blindside him, really.
I hope that guy, Tausch, is insured by American Family Insurance because he needed a policy after that mistake.
Well, life is better with a home and auto policy from American Family Insurance. That's because they're always there to protect your dreams of throwing that touchdown and tackling a Hall of Fame quarterback. From hosting a family reunion in your new home to taking a family road trip in your new minivan. So insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, so here's what we're going to do. We have a couple quick questions about Packers Cardinals.
There's no such thing as a couple quick questions.
I only have one.
Okay.
And then we'll take our 2-minute break, and then we'll have tackle talk with old T and Big B. My question is simply this. If the season ended today, which would be very disappointing because then they'd have only played six games.
What would cause that? The global pandemic didn't shut down the NFL.
No, meteor.
A meteor is the only thing that will shut. Because everybody always says that. It's like, why do we always do that? Because it never happens.
It's true. And it won't happen here either, thankfully. Knock on wood.
We don't think.
It's true.
Labor dispute.
It's the end of the world as we know it. Yes, that's fair, Jesse. Good one. That happened in 82 and 87. But, Brian, if the season did end today, the number one seed in the NFC would be the Green Bay Packers, who, by their own admission, at 4-1-1, don't feel great about how they've played. Is that more of a statement about how awesome the Packers are, or where we're kind of at? Because we follow the loss column here on Wilde and Tausch, and they do have the best winning percentage right now, despite their flaws. What does that tell you, if anything?
I mean, the way I look at them right now is, I mean, yeah, I think they have flaws. I think there's a lot of things that they need to do better as a team. I think consistency is one thing that I look at, right? Like, I think you look at defensively how fast they started and kind of where they've been the last couple weeks. That's kind of what I'm looking at from them right now is consistency. And whether that's, you know, in the past game and how good Micah was, right? I mean, I think that's you take him and his production and kind of the way the pass rush is, and you put that in its own little separate area, right? Because, like, he's his own entity. Like, he's his own deal. But, like, you kind of look at what's going on in the secondary, and you kind of look at that, and you go, okay, how do we clean that up, right? Because you go now and look at the way Detroit is performing now since how they were performing in week one, right? And you see the way that offense now has kind of kicked the rust off, right? And they've kind of, you know, snapped out of their, I guess, their slumber
malaise.
From the offseason.
They're malaise.
Yeah, and their new coordinator and figuring out how they're going to run their offense. And now they look like the Detroit Lions again. Right? Mm-hmm. They look really good. So now you see that, and you're like, okay, so how is this defense going to combat that offense, right? And you have to look at our secondary and how are they going to perform, you know, they need to start performing to a higher level to combat what Detroit is doing so well in the secondary or, you know, at the receiver position. Do I feel really good about our run defense? Yeah, I do. I feel really good about our run defense. I think our run defense is really good. I feel great about the linebackers. You get Wyatt back, I feel really good about the run, like, you know, interior and the run defense. Like, I think that's really good against Detroit. I do. I think that's something that last year I didn't feel so good about. This year I feel a lot better about. But now it's like, the pass defense. That's the, like, and you have the big part, which is the pass rush with Micah, but Detroit can scheme that, right? Like, you can put, obviously they have a great right tackle, and, you know, you can park another guy next to the, you know, the greatest right tackle in the game right now and help him with Micah and get the ball off. Like, you can do a lot of things to negate one guy and then have your, you know, two wideouts and tight end work open. So, like, there's some things from a consistency standpoint that I'm worried about, that if you were to end the season today and start the playoffs, that, yeah, I'd be a little nervous. And from an offensive standpoint, I just want to see, like, and I get Jacobs was probably at, I mean, if I think 70% may be generous against the Cardinals. I mean, he was struggling from a health standpoint, but, like, I give this guy so much credit. I mean, I love him as a running back. Like, dude's
he's been fantastic. Awesome. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He, I mean, he's a workhorse, but, like, I really, really just want to see him. And again, I'm not blaming him, but I just want to see him get going in this run game. Like, I like, just from a consistency standpoint in the run game, like, consistency is my key word here, right? On both sides of the ball, like, just a consistent performance on both sides of the ball in those two areas, running the ball and defending the pass in the secondary. Those two things, if that becomes more regular, I feel great about this team going into, like, a postseason type environment, right? Like, because that's winning football, right? Because, like, I think the run game's there on the defensive side of the ball. And I think our pass game offensively is there. But we all know in the playoffs, there's one thing you need from an offensive side of the ball in today's game. And that's to be able to turn around and hand it off to a back. That's the way the NFC's been going lately, right? You look at Philly, you look at San Francisco in the past, you look at Detroit. That's what they've all done really well, is hand the ball off and run the ball really well. And that's the way the NFC's been going. So, to me, Green Bay, they have the back. I feel like they have the offensive line to do it. It's just the consistency needs to be there. And Jacobs is so good that, like, you just have to get him going. You have to get Jacobs going and running the rock well.
We'll talk more about that offensive line during Tackle Talk with Mark Tauscher and Brian Bulaga. And that starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home,
it's 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch.
Kind of stayed on the clock here today a little bit. Not bad.
Closer.
Not bad.
Again, thank you. We'll try. I turn it over to the two. You called.
I love that. This is a great song.
It is a great song.
Really good song.
My name's in it.
Who sings this again? Aldean? This Aldean?
Kane Brown.
Kane Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's. I believe Chris Young is also involved.
Bobby
in that
Brown.
Song. Bobby Boucher.
Larry Brown.
Brian Bulaga.
What can Brown do for you? Yusef Burgess. All right,
this is how we get off the clock.
I understand.
What can Brown do for you, Yusef Burgess?
Not bad. Blue, what did you think when you... So we finally kind of saw the little rotation, cute little deal. Seems to be...
Dunzo.
What did you make of this group? Now, this is going to be, it feels like, the preferred group as long as everybody stays healthy moving forward. What did you think of the? What did you think of what the boys did last week?
I mean, again, like I'm, as you guys know, I'm a fan of no rotation. I don't like rotation. So if you're gonna go with a group, let's go with a group, right? Like that's the way I prefer it, and that seems to be the way they're going with it, and I thought they, for the most part, played well, right? Like, again, I kind of mentioned it in the previous segment. Like, I think the run game is still one of those things that hasn't gained steam. And, like, that obviously was the case. Again, I get Jacobs had two rushing touchdowns. And, like, there's times where, like, a run will hit and it looks good, right? And there's moments that it looks good, right? Like, there's, like, a run that'll hit for 8 or 9 yards. And you're like, okay, like, this is what we like to see. And then it's, like, kind of back to, like, 2 yards here, 3 yards there. And it's not what we're used to seeing. But from a pass pro perspective, they were really good. They were really good against Arizona. Like, they were solid. And, like, I understand that Arizona doesn't have, you know, like, the greatest pass rushers. But I will always say this. Pass blocking is really hard. It's the hardest thing to do for offensive linemen. It's very difficult. We're going backwards. They're going forward at full speed. And when you do that a lot, the chances of you getting beat is very high, right? Like, it's a very difficult thing to do, and linemen have to be super concentrated all the time to not get beat, and your technique has to be really good, and it's a difficult skill. And they were very good on Sunday against Arizona in pass pro. Like, I was very impressed with the way they protected, and Jordan Love had plenty of time, multiple times. I felt like he had a bunch of time to rescan the field and find guys, maybe have too much time at times. Sometimes the quarterbacks get too much time and they scan the field too many times. And then, you know, I don't say they make bad decisions, but, you know, they double take too many times and, you know, do some things that, you know, you're like, hey man, throw the ball, like, just throw the ball. Yeah. But I thought that for the most part, they played well. I think Jordan Morgan, you know, we've talked about this,
boy,
Calais forever.
Campbell. Like, Calais Campbell got him good on one run play, boy.
Yeah.
Calais Campbell's a stud. That's just a big being.
He's enormous. Like, I don't know, like, and it's hard to explain to people. And when you tell people, like, he's enormous, like, well, like, you guys are all big. It's like, no.
No, there's different.
You don't understand.
Larry Allen.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
yeah, there's different kinds of big and strong.
Yes, like I try to tell people, like, he's enormous. Like, he is a giant human being. Like, he's big. Like, I mean, like, one of the largest men I've ever gone against, like, on the field. Like, he's huge. Like, he's all a 6'9". Like he's large. Like,
he makes
big.
You look tiny.
Yes, he does.
He could play till he's 50 years old. Like, what he does, yeah. He can play till he's 50.
Yeah, he keeps guys away from him because he's got the longest
arm.
Yes, like, he's just very good. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, Jordan Morgan's going to have to get used to it against guys that are very savvy like that. You're going to get got, as they always say. You're going to get got, right? And you're young in the position, you're learning, and you're going to learn on the job quick, right? Like, and you're a tackle, or you think you're a tackle, and you're getting moved inside, there's going to be times where, I mean, against veteran players, like, they're going to get you, right? Like, they study tape. They see your tendencies. You're going to get beat from time to time.
Yeah, and, blue, right? Everything in there happens so quick. You don't have time to gather yourself. It's go. Like, you got to go. If you're not going, you're beat. At tackle, it gives you a little more – you have more space. You have to go. But you can get away with, figuring things out. Is Jordan Morgan going to be a guard moving forward, or do you think he is still better suited for tackle?
Oh man. Like, here's my, like, I have a hard time with it because we didn't even really get a true sample size of him at left tackle, right? Like, we didn't really get a real, like, look at him at left tackle in, I don't know, like, you could say live NFL snaps, right? Like, I mean, like, game snaps. Like, that's what I mean, right? Like, you could say preseason snaps. Like, sure. Like, I'm not trying to, like, take away from what preseason means, right? Like, I understand. But, like, I mean, live left tackle snaps and what those show you, right? And what that means. So it's hard for me to say. We saw a right tackle. I don't think he's a right tackle. I will say that. Like, I'll go out on a limb there. And I'm not saying that you can't take reps there and train there and maybe get your body there, but, like, he's just not. Zach Tom's the team's right tackle. That's what it is, right? Like, that's
until he's the center.
Zach Tom it,
or the left
until
tackle.
Until he's the center.
Or the left tackle.
Or the left tackle. Yeah, or he plays every position because, you know, that's what we do, right?
Cloning.
We move everyone to every – yeah.
AI. Could AI him?
Yeah, we could. But I still think –
Brian, you knew that when you signed up for it.
No. I'm thinking in my head like how the linemen here get like moved from position to position, and I'm just like, ugh. But I still think Jordan Morgan is a tackle because I still watch him, and I see his movements, and I see the way he. You just see how he
He's
plays.
He's an athlete. He moves. I agree.
And I see how he pass blocks still, even at guard. And I see his tendencies, and I see how he likes to, when he plays against three techs, and I see how he likes to pass block him, and he likes to get him high and wide. And, like he has tackle tendencies. Like, and like, to me, like, hey, you, I mean, guards all have different styles when they block. But, like, I'm used – like, City used to do that, sit, and he liked to get – you know, three techs high and wide too. But then, like, you look at guards like TJ who like to take them dead down the middle, jumps at them and stone them right there. Like, everyone has different styles. But, like, he still has a lot of tackle tendencies to him. And now, whether or not that, you know, they continue to think, like, this is it, he's staying here, or next year, you know, they move him out to the left side, you know, that remains to be seen. But to me, I still think he's a tackle, right? But, like, that doesn't mean he can't be a good guard for this, you know, for this period of time. Because, like, I think if you leave him here right now and you stop moving him, like, stop in training, you know, in practice, moving him at left to tackle, or, you know, just leave him at right guard. Mm-hmm. Because if you want him to play right guard right now, leave him there. If someone gets injured, do not move him. Because the minute you move him, you're stunting the growth. You're stunting his progress of getting comfortable at that position, becoming a better player at that position, and it's only going to hurt the group. So, like, don't move him unless you want him to play left tackle, right? Unless you want him to play tackle. Like, that's the only way that I would say up and move him if something happens to a tackle. But
yeah, and Brian, to your point, he's got 11 games left and then hopefully some postseason. I don't think Green Bay wants this to be the group, right? If they can keep everybody healthy, this is the O-line they want to roll out there. Let Jordan Morgan get another 10, 11 games of experience, because you start figuring things out. You maybe have ideas on what works, and then you get Calais Campbell or somebody gets you. You're like, well, it ain't going to work. So now you go back to the drawing board. You kind of let that thing roll, and you'll see how it all shakes out. But I don't think they still know, because I think Jordan Morgan, in his heart of hearts, wants to be a tackle. And if that's the case, you don't try to shove a square hole into a round peg or however that goes, whatever that saying is. Blue,
nailed it.
What about the closer mentality that the Green Bay Packers have now with Micah? That is different than what we've seen. We had Clay. We had guys that could get to the quarterback, but what he did on Sunday, that's bringing Dennis Eckersley in. That's bringing Mariano Rivera in. That is saying we get a four-point lead. I still think a field goal, they would have gotten down and got a field goal. But when they needed a tutter, you put your closer in. For whatever reason, Arizona decides to leave their right tackle on an island. Thank you, Gannon, or whatever the guy's name is. We got a closer. How important is that to a team to have that guy?
Oh, God. I mean, that is literally – I think that's what the team has been missing, I think, personally, since Clay left, right? And then you kind of look at Clay and Julius, right? Like, those when they had those two guys together, that's kind of what they've been missing since those two departed, right? Like, those two guys that could literally – you get in situations where it's like, you know, you have a lead, go get the quarterback. Those, I mean, obviously Clay was there first, and then they brought in Julius. You put those two guys together, it's like, okay, well, one of them is getting a sack in these situations. And now you have Micah, who essentially, like, I look at him and it's guaranteed a pressure or now, like, or a sack. Like, that's the way I look at him. Like, it's guaranteed one or the other, right? He's going to hurry the quarterback into a bad decision, or he's sacking the quarterback. And that, to me, is rare. Like, that those are rare players.
Yeah, or you have to leave a back end or a tight end, and you don't get all of that spacing. You're forced to limit what you can do to go down and get yards to get in position, too.
100%. And then, like, if you do leave those guys in to help, but we even saw it against Arizona. Like, they were doing, they left guys in to chip him. And I'm not talking about the last drive. They left him on an island. What they were doing, I have no idea. Like, that's the worst. Like, I have no idea what you're doing.
I think they got tricked because he came out of the game for a snap. And I think they were like, whew. And then they forgot that he came back out. I don't know if he sneaked out there and kind of did the, I'm going to hide behind the big fellas, then I line up, and they're like, oh, blank. I guarantee that right tackle was, because you saw the right guard throw his hands up in the air. He wasn't happy about it.
I mean, he beat that right tackle in about a second and a half. He dipped underneath his punch in a second and a half.
That's pretty good.
I mean, you could say, oh, the quarterback got rid of it. Like, no, he beat him in a second and a half. He dipped underneath his punch. And it was done. It was done in a second and
Dunzo,
a half.
Like, some would say.
No, oh my gosh! But like, even during the game, the guard was coming out there. The back was chipping him. He was still splitting those blocks and like in Brissett's face, and like hitting Brissett as he was throwing the ball. Like he is a different player. Like, and you watch all the, like, I think the only guy that I compare him to right now is Myles Garrett. Like, that's what Myles Garrett does as well. Like that's, because, like, there's a lot of great pass rushers in the league, right? Like, and, like, there's no doubt about it. There's great rushers. Like, and Green Bay is going to see one in Watt. Like, there's great rushers. But there's only a couple that no matter what you do to them, they're always going to be there. Like, it doesn't matter. You chip them, you double them. For some reason, they're always an arm length away from your quarterback. Like, it doesn't matter. And Micah's one, and Myles Garrett's the other.
Yep.
Like, and that's what Green Bay has the guy that does it. And the rest of this D line, they need to start taking advantage of it.
Yep.
They have to, because it is so rare that everyone else gets a one-on-one almost every single play.
Brian, you said something. I know we got to go, but you said something about Penei Sewell, because I think we're all looking forward to that matchup on Thanksgiving. I know I am. Would you put Micah there, or would you force Rashawn Gary over on Decker and let them figure out if they're going to double that? How would you, if you're Halfley, what would you, because you're going to move Micah around, but predominantly you're going to line up. How would you want that to shake out?
Yeah, I think just from a, just so you're not being predictable, because I think what Detroit will assume is they're going to line him up over Decker, right? They're going to go to the weaker tackle, which is Decker over Sewell. Like, they're going to predict that, right? They're going to think that's what Green Bay will do. I think you
Sewell's,
have to put him over.
There's no way Sewell's going to play as poorly as he did in the opener, right?
No.
Because he did not play well in that game.
Oh, I don't know.
He didn't play well.
No, he's going to be at Micah home snap comp, but Micah makes great tackles look pretty average.
That's fair. Yeah, okay.
Or Micah made him look that way.
Right,
like,
he
that's
did.
The thing. Like, And the thing is, Micah makes guys look that way is because of change of direction.
So quick.
It's being able to stop and redirect back inside or you know, show you're going inside and dip back under outside so fast.
Without slowing down. It's amazing.
Even tackles with great feet and great hands, it's the little bit of hesitation than the acceleration. It's very hard for tackle to handle. Like, you have to be, like, again, you watch him against Lane Johnson. Lane's one of those guys that was able to handle it because obviously Philly's offense is very like Philly was a very run dominant offense, but Lane is a, I would say, kind of a freaky type athlete, very long, lean type guy. Sewell's not built like Lane. They're two differently built guys. Like, that's why no tackle is the same. Sewell's dominant. He's one of the best right tackles in the league, maybe the best. But Lane, also one of the best, if I mean, you can compare them. They're just built differently. So they're able to handle different type rushers differently. So, like, not every guy is built for to handle a Micah Parsons, right? Like, not many are, right? Like, it just, it's the way it is. But it's why a guy like Lane is better suited to handle Micah compared to, say, maybe a Sewell, because their body types and how they move and what they handle better is just the way it is. It's like, it's why some guys could, like, well, for me, I hated going against Cam Wake. I'd rather go against, like, I'd rather go against like Mario Williams and a bigger guy like Julius than Cam Wake, just from a body type standpoint, because of how they're built and how they move compared to a guy like that. It's just what you're able to handle better, right? Like, and that's every tackle has their preference of what they can manage and, or what fits their game better.
Yeah. I think most tackles like slow and strong guys, or actually slow and weak is the first group that
you're
really,
matchup for you.
If, you can find
slow and weak
are the best. Like, they can't threaten you with power or speed. That's when you're at attack. You're like, I think today'll be a fun day.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there's always something that they can do that will put pressure on you.
Brian, you are neither of those things. Thanks for the extra time today. And I will talk to you later in the week on the Homer Hour. Speaking of Homer, he's going to get about 3 minutes on today's show, but I'm okay with that.
Oh, he'll love it.
I don't know if he is.
He'll love it.
We'll talk to you later, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is the great Brian Bulaga, always generous with his time. Now, I don't think he is planning on joining us on our trip across the pond, but if you are interested in making the trip to England, Scotland, and Wales with Colette and with the Wildies, well, all you got to do is text TRAVEL to 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, or go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com to get the details. We're going to see the beautiful countryside. We're going to see the great cities, Big Ben, Edinburgh Castle, which I now have learned how to pronounce, Chester, Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, which I know Tausch is interested in, the medieval city of York, everything that you want to see across the pond. We're going to do all those things and more and make some great memories that will last a lifetime. And for me, it'll be my first time leaving North America. So if you want to do it too, text TRAVEL to 844-770-3776 or go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com to find out more. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.